Well, I'm excited. How many of y'all are excited today? Anybody got cabin fever? You're just tired of staying home in the snow? And this last week it snowed 4 solid days, 24/7, at our area. It didn't all stick, but we probably got 8 or 10 inches, and you guys got a lot more than we got. And I'm just sort of glad to be out today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love the snow, but I'm ready for spring, always. So let's stand together. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Let's begin in verse 12. Thank you, brother. Exodus 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall not go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, Thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Father, we love you today. Pray you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that you'd do a work in our lives today. Save those that are lost. Touch us who are saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 21 said, Behold, there is a place by me. Now, God is calling Moses to lead the children of Israel out. He has just received the Ten Commandments. And God is asking Moses, I'm going now. Will you go with me? And who will you send with me? In the midst of that, God said, I can't go with you because of your reckless life and sin that's in there. And then it comes down to the point that God says, but I'll go with you. And I've got a place right by my side that you can be in. And I've thought about that a lot. Now, you folks don't really know me. I was raised way out in the country. I never saw a building more than 2 stories high until I was a senior in high school. And went to Nashville on a Future Farmers of America trip and almost got run over by a taxi cab just gawking at the big buildings because I'd never seen that. I got saved when I was 19. I was an incurable alcoholic by 15. But since I got saved, God's let me go in some wonderful places that I never, ever dreamed I'd ever be. I drove in here last night. I was so excited. I'm so excited to be here this morning just to be in the house of God, to Amen. Worship God. It's a wonderful place. I forgot how good you all sing. And I love to hear you sing. And wow, what a place this is. I've been in some great places. I shared a moment ago in Sunday school that I stood and preached a funeral, and 20,000 folks, I guess, at that funeral. Gave an invitation, 3,000 folks raised their hand. What a place that was to stand there and to see that happen. I've been, starting on my 18th year, preaching 340 nights a year on the road in evangelism. And for 40 years, I've preached the gospel, and I've literally seen thousands of folks come and kneel at an altar, weep their way to Calvary. What a wonderful place that is. I've stood at a place like this and preached funerals. I've stood at a place like this and watched young couples come down the aisle and marry them in holy matrimony, and many of them now serving the Lord in ministry around the world. I've stood in some great, great places. Great places around the world. Places I never, ever dreamed I'd be. I've preached in large churches and large crusades and little churches where the power of God was so great. What a place. But there's a place here that's greater than any place I've ever been. You may have been in greater places than I've been, but God says there's a place right here that's right beside Him. Right by His side. Woo! What a place. To be right beside of God. You and I who are so unworthy, you and I who don't deserve even the sight of God, God says there's a place right beside of me. Now, you don't just sit there if you want to. I'm about to bless myself with the thought of that. That does something in my heart. It's a place. It's not a place of shifting sand. It's a place where it's a rock and you'll not move from it. Look with me in verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." And I preach in churches week after week, and here's what I find in America today. It's almost as if when we show up at church that we have blessed God by our presence, by us being there. But I want to tell you something. If you are in a place beside of God, you didn't get there by anything you did. And you'll never get there by how you live or what you give or what you do. If you ever get beside of God or in the presence of God, you'll get there totally by the grace of Almighty God. The word grace, you know what it means? It means undeserving favor. That means that we don't deserve the grace that God has given to us, but God gives it to us anyway. Hallelujah! I am saved by grace. I am kept by grace. I live by grace. Every day of my life, it is a story of the grace of Almighty God. When I go to heaven, it'll not be because of anything that I've done, but it'll be by the grace of God that I'll go and that you'll go. There's a place beside of God, but you'll never get there except by the grace of God. I was in a church the other day, and a lady just—I got around right ready for the invitation. She just stood up and yelled out. She raised both hands and yelled out, and she said, "I don't want to go to hell." Scared the church because they hadn't had nobody holler out there in so long, and they come down the aisle. It's 15 minutes, seemed like, me before anybody ever went to deal with her. I found out she was on her way from East Tennessee to Nashville to go to drug rehab. But she stopped by the church that morning and found grace. And grace found her. Woo! Grace! Grace! The grace of Almighty God! Hallelujah! Then look in verse 14. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I like rest. I don't get a lot. I'm a workaholic. I go day and night. I got in last night. I did some phone calls and had a comfortable place, quiet place. Went out and got me a Big Mac, sort of settled me down for the night. And then I turned everything off and just went to bed, and I slept so good. I just had a night of rest. I like rest. I don't like a lot of it, but I like rest. God says, "I'll give you rest." Let me give you a story about how many of you was here in the first service? I guess we'll call it first service. Well, let's say who wasn't here. I'm not trying to pick on you. I just don't want to repeat anything. My daughter got right with the Lord last January. And she'd been a real character. Boy, she's sold out Jesus now. She came down the aisle, knelt at my feet after she told me she'd never go to church. And for 30, 40 minutes, you could have heard her three blocks down the street as she wept and wailed. Last prayer she prayed was, "Dear God, I've tried to live for you. I can't. I've got to have you." Boy, she stood up different. I told my wife, I said, "I baptized that kid four times. I'm not going to tell anybody that she's right with God till I know." About 3 days later, we was at Wendy's eating, and I heard a man several tables over from us say, "I can't go to heaven. All my friends are in hell." I didn't pay much attention to it. Walked by his table, got right beside my daughter, just turned around and lit into him. And she looked at me and she said, "We can't leave here without telling that man about Jesus." Before I could turn around, she looked at him square in the eye and said, "I heard what you said. I used to be just like you, but God got a hold of me. And when God gets a hold of you, you can't let your friends keep you out of heaven." Amen. And I thought, who is this girl? Go, girl, whoever you are. Last January, we had a lot of snow like this. We had two or three snows. We had like 16 inches of snow, which is tremendous for us. And my daughter had been away from home 6 years, but she said, I'm coming back home. In 3 days, she's back home. At a little great-grandfather's house, a little four-room house right in front of ours. And she said, I want to move in there. And so we started turning the electric. There hadn't been nobody in it in 10 years. Then my daughter said to me, she said, Dad, I want to go down there and spend the night. You know, if you're a dad, you understand that girls are yours until they're grown, and then after they're grown, you belong to them. And that means my daughter lives there. And what that means is if I'm home and she's off, I'm hers. And so you learn as a dad to cut them off before they get you in a corner. And so when she said, I want to spend the night, I knew there was something involved for me to do, and I was trying to cut her off. And so I said, honey, we don't have any heat down there. Oh, she said, we got a wood stove. Well, I said, honey, there's 16 inches of snow. Daddy, we've got a chainsaw. We've got a four-wheel drive truck, Tonto. Do you know what I mean? So we got in the truck with a chainsaw and went out there in 16 inches of snow and cut it up while she stayed in the warm truck. And then we got back to the fire. She didn't know nothing about a fire. She'd never been around a fire. So we, Tonto, built the fire. And then she said, now, Dad, I've got a sofa to sleep on, but I don't want to sleep here by myself. You need to sleep with me so we can go back to the camp and get a bed. So Tonto went and got his own bed and came back and sat on one side of that stove, and she's on the other side. And I go to bed normally about midnight, 1 o'clock, and I get up 5 or 6. I mean, if you get up later than 6, you're lazy. If you get up before 6, you're crazy. And 6 o'clock's the time to get up. And so that night, 8:30 come, the house began to get warm. You know anything about wood heat? No heat in the world like wood heat. And by 8:30, but I'd done it under the covers. I'd sucked out it. And I never knew there was a world until 8:30 the next morning. And I woke up and I said to Sarah, it's getting cold in here. She said, yeah, we need to build a fire, Daddy. And so we got out of the bed and chucked up that fire again. But oh, I got rest like I hadn't had in a long time around that old wood stove. You know, that's the kind of rest God gives. I was preaching the other day outside of Tupelo, Mississippi, and a woman sat on the third row. She's 72 years old, wept and cried every night. I said to the preacher, I said, what's wrong with that woman? He said, she's lost, Ronnie. She comes for months every service and cries. Boy, one night she come running down the aisle. She passed me, and as she passed me, she said, I've got to have some rest. She said, I've not slept in 3 days. Boy, she got saved that night. The next night I saw her. I said, Did you sleep last night? She said, I slept till 11 o'clock today. And that same service, we had a woman, 38 years old, come down the aisle, Pastor Larry the Lord. She come over and sat beside of me, and she's still rubbing her hands like this. And she looked up at me, and she said, Preacher, look at my hands. I've rubbed them until they're bleeding, waiting for you to shut up so I can get saved. God gives rest. Can I tell you, I never had any rest till I met Jesus. Woo! Y'all don't mind if I shout right down the middle of the aisle, do you? I've got rest like you've never had before when you know Jesus. Glory, Jared. Hallelujah. I've got rest. God gives rest. God said there's a place right beside of me. There's not any rest in this world. The rest is in Jesus and a relationship with Him. Woo. Woo. Then there's a whatever verse I'm on, verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, listen to me. There's a rest in a relationship and fellowship with God that you don't have in anything else. But sometimes I think we replace that with other relationships. For instance, I have folks say to me, now, Brother Ronnie, I really like your preaching, but I know you're going to be here Wednesday. I wish I could hear you preach more, but I can't come back. And I say, are you dying? No, I'm not dying. Are you working? No. My kids have ball games. And you know family is so important. And I know family is important. But listen to me. Family does not replace the relationship with God. I met my wife and we got married in 27 days. And there's a word for that. Stupid. And we've been married for 35 years. And she is my best friend and I love her. However, my love for her or time with her does not replace time with God. We do that sometimes with the church. I hear folks say things like this. I just love my church. Well, you ought to love your church. If you don't, you ought to go somewhere else. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Love for the church does not replace love for God. God said there's a place that's greater than the place with your family, greater than the place of the church, greater than any place in all the world. There's a place right beside of me. And you know something? I went through Facebook this morning. I got a lot of college kids that are friends, obviously, and little girl in Jacksonville, Florida. This is what she said late last night. Last thing she said, I just noticed it this morning. She said, I'm just laying in my bed, listening to my iPod, fellowshipping with Jesus. You can do it at home in the bed. You can do it on the road in the car. The other day, I was just driving down the road, me and Jesus. I was letting the Holy Ghost drive. I just sort of carried away, you know, whoa, hallelujah. And I came to, and somebody in the next lane waving at me. But I wasn't waving at them. I was fellowshipping with Him. Hello? Do you understand? There's a place, and it's a place of fellowship with God Himself. I'm about to bless myself. That's getting good. Hallelujah. Now, now look in verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Now listen. It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and all thy people. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that you may not like, but I really don't care because I'm leaving tonight. And there's a place here beside of God, and it's a place of separation. Can I just say something as an older man to this young generation of folks? There's a place beside of God, but you'll never get in the place beside of God and be in the world at the same time. Oh, you can be in church, you can do all those things, but if you want in the place right beside of God, you'll never get there unless you're separated. I just came through my third IRS audit. I've already been audited as of last October for 09. I'm probably the only man in America already audited for 09. My first audit, they took everything I had. Not because of anything I'd done, but because of what some other folks did to me. They took houses, retirement, took everything. This was not too bad. I've won to the Lord. The guy that's over the IRS in Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, and when I got this audit, I told him, called him, I said, I'm in this mess. He said, who's the auditor? And I'm not going in because I don't like you guys. And he said, well, you can go in. She's a Christian. So I went through this. It wasn't no big deal. Within $20 on one, perfect on one. We got camp, ministry farm, all this stuff. But I was flipping through the channels the other day, went right in the middle of that audit, and I wasn't real happy with the IRS, and I saw Charlie Daniels. Now, my only relation with Charlie Daniels is the fact that he went through an IRS audit and got saved in the middle of it. He said. And he took everything he had except a bus, the second bus, the old bus, said, go make us some more money, pay this off. And so I thought he might say something about it. And I just listened to him a minute. Here's what Charlie Daniels said. He said, when I was 8 years old, I formed a band and started playing in the churches. He said, when I got 12 years old, we began to do county fairs and different things. And he said, when I got about 20 or 21, we got better. And he said, we began to play in the nightclubs and the bars and the saloon. And he said, you know what? He said, I started in the churches at 8, and by 20 I was singing in the bars. But he said, there was a common denominator. It was the same crowd. Now, I go to churches and I can't tell if the church is getting worldly or the world getting churchy. Because there's no separation. There's no idea. That's what bugs me about youth meetings in camp. And then live like you always live. No, it's finding Jesus and living a different lifestyle, a better lifestyle, good for you lifestyle. But you'll never get there unless you're willing to be separated from everything in the world to get beside of God. A woman who had such power with God, somebody said to her one time, I wish I had power like with you. I'd give the world to have the power you have with God. And she said, that's what it cost you. You'll have to give up the world to be in the place beside of God. But there's a place. It's a place of separation. It's a place that's... Vance Havner said it this way. He said, when I started preaching, I preached in the soup kitchens. He said, it didn't take me long to find out I didn't have to dress like a bum to tell a bum about Jesus. And then there's one last thing I want you to see out of this verse. Well, let's make it two things. I don't know where my watch is and you don't have a clock. Hallelujah. We won't even look. Verse 17, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this also whom thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I'm in evangelism because I got sick. 19 years ago, I got sick. Pastoring a huge church, never been sick a day in my life, never had a headache. I wound up with spinal meningitis and herpes encephalitis. Now, let's explain that. Herpes, shingles on the brain lining. I lost 90% of my memory. Pastoring a large church, all at once I'd look at deacons and I didn't know their name. I couldn't call their name. I went to the doctor and I said, man, there's something wrong. I'm losing my memory. And they said, Ronnie, you're 38. You're getting old. And I thought, I'm 38. You're not old enough. You don't understand. I know 500 members in my church. Know their phone number. Can call. You tell me the name, I tell their phone number. I know all that. Something wrong here. Long story short, 12 weeks to live, 12 weeks after that to be dead. And I went through all of that. Though I forgot the names of people that I loved, can I tell you something? God never forgot my name. And can I tell you that God will never forget your name? No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how you live, no matter anything about it, once God knows you by name, He will never, ever, hallelujah, never forget your name. He knows me by name. Woo! Now that's intimate fellowship. He doesn't call me Tim. He calls me Ronnie. Do you know, Jared, why he calls me Ronnie? Because that's who I am. Every once in a while, y'all all just do this. Say, woo! That's good preaching, right? Woo! Keep on. Just help me a little there, all right? Hallelujah. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place where He knows your name. And then look in verses 20 through 23. He said, thou canst not see my face. Ooh, 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 ooh. There shall no man see me and live. Now listen. Listen. Moses. Just been on the mountain with him. Just got the Ten Commandments. Just seen the glory of God. He said, I want to see your face. God said, no, you can't see my face. But there's a place right by me. And as I walk by, you can see my backside. Now think with me. Think with me a minute. That is a holy God. That is a God that is due reverence. We have such an irreverent society today. I get a little aggravated with young folks. I'm old enough that when older people are going into a door, I stop and hold it for them. I still stop and hold a door open for ladies. Even some that don't act like ladies. Women. That's what I do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But this young generation will hurt you trying to get through the door before you. And if you, and I've tried this. You can stop and hold the door open for young folks and they won't even grunt to thank you. I had one the other day walk through and I got in the flesh for just a split second. I just wanted to kick him right in the rear end, them saggy britches. Somebody needs to do something to you, dummy. Hello? And we've allowed that. We got a major problem in schools now. You know why? Because we can't discipline kids. Can't spank them, can't paddle them, can't do nothing. Can't touch them. End result, you got a bunch of hooligans in school everywhere. Hello? Don't you? Hey! Amen, Ronnie, come on, tell the truth. I believe I will. Help myself, you ain't going to help me, come on. But as a result of that kind of society, we also have folks who are irreverent to God. See, we want to start church at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull.
Go ahead, preacher.
I was doing a meeting the other day. Started on Thursday night. I preached through Sunday morning. Sunday night, I pushed hard. Sunday morning, we're going to have lost folks. We're going to preach a sermon. Thousands of folks get saved on. Bring your lost friend. And I'm walking down the aisle right here. I got to the third pew. Preacher looked over at me and he said, "Now, Ronnie, if we're not out by 12 o'clock, there'd be nobody left here but me and you." Oh, I said, "Preacher, I wish you'd have told me that." I said, "I'd have preached last night to lost people." I said, I need a little longer to preach. I need a little longer to give the invitation to keep people out of hell and get them into heaven. This is what he said. He said, "I don't know about all that, but if you're not done by 12, be nobody left here but me and you." Now listen, I don't care how long you sang. You didn't sing enough for me. Matter of fact, half the time I preach, I don't have my mic on, don't have it. I'm just sitting there enjoying singing and worshiping and loving God. And then all at once they say, "It's your turn." I say, "Oh, dear God, I've got to get this stuff on before I get up there. Don't know where my Bible is because I'm just worshiping." But that morning we started at 11 o'clock and they sung for 45 minutes. I don't mind you singing 45 minutes. Here's what I believe. You sing as long as you want to, I preach as long as I want to.
Amen.
You sing, you get done, I preach till I get done. Hello? I'm not in a hurry.
Somebody
said to me the other day, "I just got back from Africa, and I've been thinking about moving my letter over there because they dance over there." Amen. They're a little excited. They say, "I don't know if you can handle our worship or not." I said, "I just got back from Africa. They can make music in the dust with their feet, and they dance and sway and do all that. I'm going to move my letter over there so when I act like this, I can say, my church does that." Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Hello! So all you can. So they sung 45 minutes. Now, they're giving me 15 minutes to stand up, preach the Word of God, keep people out of hell, get them into heaven, give an invitation, close out, and get everybody down to rest before the Methodists get there.
Go ahead.
That's not going to happen.
Amen.
Because you'll never be the Methodist, no way. They're always there first. So I got up and preached 45 minutes. Nobody left. Had 12 folks saved. You know what I like about going overseas? They don't have time limits. Matter of fact, you stop preaching an hour, they'll say, "Come on, what's wrong? Are you sick?" Come on, keep preaching. Give us another hour. Hello? But down here, boy, if we're not out by 12 o'clock, we got other things to do. You know why? Because we're irreverent to God. Now, if God's so holy, you can't even look in His face, the man whom He gave the Ten Commandments to, if He wouldn't allow Him to, what kind of God is that? A reverent God. A God that we ought to come to worship and obey and follow this morning. Hallelujah! Oh, man. Let's look at this one thing here. I'm trying to close. Look at verse 22. "I will put thee in a cleft of the rock." I wish I could sing. I'd sing on Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. See, you don't know me, but the devil don't like me, and the devil's been after me for almost 40 years. He would destroy me if he could get to me. He would shut down the camp. He would stop my financial flow. But guess what? When he gets to looking for me, he can't find me because he can't see me. You know why he can't see me? Because I'm in the cleft of the rock and he can't see where I am because I'm hid in God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Heaven.
Woo. I go with you. There is a place. There is a place. I got there. First time I ever got there, I was 19 years old. Incurable alcoholic. Been drunk every night that week. Guy stopped me on the side of the road and began to witness to me. Made me so mad, I told him I'd whip him if he didn't get out of my truck. Got out on the side of the road, and he's still standing there spouting scripture, and I start to back away. I don't ever remember changing gears. I looked to heaven, a blue sky, and I said, God, I don't even know if there's a God, but if there is a God, I'll give you my life if you'll take away the mess. And right there in that old pickup truck, I got in a place I'd never been in before. I mean, I got in a place. Do you know what I'm talking about? I got in a place. Amen. I got in a place. I went home, and I took a bath, and I got out of the bathtub, and I thought, hot dog, I'm clean on the outside, and I'm clean on the inside. And I called those boys. I said, where are you going to church tonight? I know you're going Saturday night. And they told me, 40 miles away, and I drove over and met all my friends that I drank with, and they said, let's go get drunk. I said, oh, I'm higher now than I've ever been. I'm in a place I've never been in before. I got in that, and can I tell you, I'm right there right now. And every once in a while, just going down the road, I get in there. And every once in a while, in a motel room, I get there. Every once in a while, in a camp, I get there. Every once in a while, in a prayer garden, I get right there in that place that's right beside of God that nobody's ever been before. And I get to be there. Hallelujah! Have you ever been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about a place that once you've been there, I wouldn't understand why you wouldn't want to come back there. Because there's no other place like that place. Because that place is right beside of Almighty God. About to bless myself. Can y'all see this? It's not just for old people. Can y'all see this? This means yes in Alarka. Don't make me come back there. I will. All right. Y'all see this? That little red man right there represents everybody in here. Represents everybody in the world. That dark ram represents sin. Did you know everybody sins? I sin, you sin, everybody sins. Sin is not what somebody else does. Sin is when you do what you want to instead of what God wants you to do. The Bible says God is light, John 8. 1 John 1 and 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Our sins are dark and evil, and we separate ourselves from holy God by our own sin. But God says He loves us anyway. John 3:16, say it with me if you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and 8 says, while we were sinners, while we were in sin, that Jesus Christ died for us. He died on a cross. They nailed His hands. They nailed His feet. They pierced His side. He died a horrible death. He didn't die so we could decorate with crosses. He didn't die so we could wear jewelry. He died for my sin and your sin and the sins of everybody in the whole world. And they took Him down from the cross. And they buried Him in a tomb. They rolled a stone to hold Him. They put soldiers to guard a dead man. Jesus said, in 3 days, I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to prove to you who I am, what power I have. And on the third day, just like He said, up from the grave He arose, a mighty victor over His foes. He's up. He's alive. He lives. And what that does for us is it makes a way so man and sin can get to God. He's not just a way to God. He's the only way to God. None other name given under heaven whereby men, women, boys, and girls must be saved other than the name of Jesus. And then He reaches that nail-scarred hand out of heaven and He knocks on your heart. And He says, if you can believe me, if you can receive me, keep you out of hell and I'll take you to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, listen to me.